Hey everyone, this is Pastor Jeff Geyer from Zanesville Neighborhood Church. I want to thank you for listening to Renew on River Radio and listening to sermons from our church. Today's episode is the first part of a long message that we've done this spring of 2024. It's a difficult message. It's a message on eternal death and judgment, but it's an important one for us to consider. And so it's a longer message, and we've split it into two parts. Today, on today's episode, you'll hear roughly the first half of that message, and then you can tune in again next week to catch the second half. Hope you have a great Sunday. Thanks so much.
Welcome to Sunday morning worship from Zanesville Neighborhood Church. All are welcome to join Zanesville Neighborhood Church at our new location, the Trinity Presbyterian Campus on Military Road in Zanesville. Join us for worship every Sunday at 10 as we seek to love God, love neighbors, and make disciples together.
On the screen, we're going to have the Apostles' Creed. Will you join me today in reading together this ancient affirmation of our faith? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Church universal, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. All right, everybody. So we are in this teaching series. It's called Familiar Quotations. Here it is up on the screen. This is the title of the series, and just a reminder, what we're doing is going through and looking at different quotes of Jesus that appear in the Gospel of Mark, quotes in which he quotes the Old Testament scriptures. So these were quotes that were familiar to Jesus, familiar to at least some of his audience, and the Gospel writer Mark then records Jesus quoting 9 or 10 times the Old Testament. And we're going to cover most of them. There's a few that we can't fit in, but we're going to cover most of them in this series leading up to and including Easter Sunday. So that's what we're doing, familiar quotations, and this is the fourth message in that series. It's really starting to feel like spring outside, isn't it? I thought especially this week, I noticed they mowed the grass here at our new facility here at Trinity. Things are totally looking greener outside, really starting to feel like spring. In the church this time of year, of course, we have and look forward to these two glorious celebrations in the church year, Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, the next 2 weeks. And those are big things in the spring, and looking forward to celebrating Jesus as King, celebrating the new life, resurrection, an eternal life that we, his followers, have in Christ. Because Christ was raised from the dead, we too can look forward to eternal life and being raised from the dead. Thanks be to God. The celebration is coming with spring. There's renewal outside. We're celebrating the inward renewal and the eternal renewal that comes through faith in Christ. Thanks be to God for that. Before, however, we get to Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, today, you all who are here, we've got some hard work to do and some hard study to do today. We're going to look at a difficult quote from the Lord Jesus in Mark 9. We began to look at it last week. We're going to talk a little bit more about it today, and it has to do with a subject that we'd rather not talk about. I'd certainly rather not talk about it, and it is judgment, and particularly the judgment of God, death, eternal death. Those are topics that we'd rather not visit, but I'm going to ask us to visit it today together. This is, when we talk about these topics, the sad and awful reality that not everyone gets to experience the resurrection from the dead. Eternal life, those things that we'll celebrate the next 2 weeks. The sad reality is that is repeated over and over and over in Scripture is that just as those there are those who accept Jesus, accept God's grace in their life, there are those who reject Him, who reject God's grace. And so this is kind of the sorrowful side, the sad side of the gospel this morning, and we're going to get into it and look at it today. I want to get into it just by throwing up on the screen one scripture that we're very, very familiar with. We learned it as children, and we know it well by heart, at least verse 16. This is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Thanks be to God for that. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So right there in a scripture that we're all familiar with, that, again, sad and sorrowful reality that this scripture and hundreds of others make clear. So I want to ask us to sit with this idea a little bit today, uncomfortable as it is. And not only to do that, but to put our thinking caps on for a bit, because this is going to be a very kind of Bible study kind of message today. Now, two other things. I should mention, I said earlier, I don't really like to talk about this topic, and I don't know, in our church, this is our 10th year as a church, and we are a church that we come from various religious, various church traditions. And I grew up in a Christian tradition in a church that was not known for fire and brimstone preaching. And I'm not that kind of preacher myself, as you know. However, as I was growing up in the church, I would come across, or people would say from time to time, whether it was a pastor or other people, they would say something along these lines. They would say, though we don't talk about it all that often or like to talk about it, the fact is that Jesus talked about judgment and hell just as much as He talked about heaven, or something like that. And it depends on how you count the references, but the point is well taken. The point is simply that, yes, this was a topic that the Lord Jesus Christ talked about and taught about. And so ought not we, as His followers, spend some time from time to time talking about it, teaching about it, etc.? It's in there for a reason. The hard sayings of Jesus are in there for a reason. And by the way, when we talk about talking about it from time to time, I think it's very helpful also in this regard. We need to have an eternal perspective. We need to have an eternal perspective. What do we mean by eternal perspective? It means that we need to be able to remember and think beyond this life. The faith that we just sung earlier today, the faith that we proclaim on Easter Sunday, is that there is life everlasting. There is resurrection from the dead. And so we need to be able to think, okay, this life is not all there is. That's a challenge in our world, in our culture, in our world, that we so often focus on what's right in front of us. Even in the church, even in this church, we tend to talk a lot about how to live the Christian life. How do I honor God with my time, my finances, my family? How do I pray? How do I read the scriptures? All those are hugely important topics, and it's good to talk about. However, it's also good to remind ourselves that we are on an eternal journey. It's good to hold things in the light of eternity. It's good to remind ourselves that we are to seek God's greater reward. We have two worship services each week in assisted living facilities. And in those contexts, we talk about eternity and a heavenly home quite frequently. And that's appropriate. Those are folks who are much closer to eternity and that heavenly home than we are. They're sick. They're aged. We talk about, sing about that all the time. In this context as well, for the young, for people of all ages, we need to at times remind ourselves to have an eternal perspective. And so this message today will help us in that regard. The title of the message is a gruesome one, The Worms That Eat Them, A Portrait, Not a Party. A Portrait, Not a Party. I'll unpack all of that as we go. If you want to turn and follow with me in your own Bible, it is Mark chapter 9, and it's on the screen. And I'll go ahead and read it. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. This is the words of Jesus. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands and go into hell where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life than to have two feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where, quote, the worms that eat them do not die and the fire is not quenched. There are two hard parts to this. I talked a little bit last week about this cutting off hands, feet, eyes kind of thing. The other part I want to talk about today that's hard, of course, is this idea of eternal death or hell, the gruesome picture that is quoted here by Jesus. That is hard for us to hear. It's not a happy thing to think about. We should not feel happy when we talk or think about it. But it is something that I want to talk a little bit about today. What we're going to see today and what we find in the Bible, you guys, is this. There are, I think, a number of different portraits, if you will, or pictures of eternity. And in this case, of judgment and eternal death. There are a number of different portraits of that reality in the Bible. Many people say, rightly so, that there are many portraits or pictures of God in the Scriptures. God is a king. He's a shepherd. He's a loving heavenly father. You see, those are different pictures, and they're not contradictions. They're different ways of picturing an infinite God beyond our understanding in a way that we as human beings can grasp. A shepherd, a king, a father. I think the same is true when we get in the Scriptures and hear from Jesus himself some information about the afterlife, about the judgment of the wicked. We get different portraits, and today is one of those. Now, this quote comes from Isaiah. So Jesus is quoting Isaiah. Let's put up on the screen what Isaiah said. Let's look at that passage from Isaiah in its original context. This is the last chapter of the book of Isaiah. In fact, these are the very last words of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah says this, "As the new heavens and the new earth that I make will endure before me, declares the Lord, so will your name and descendants endure. From one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all mankind will come and bow down before me, says the Lord. And they will go out and look on the dead bodies of those who rebelled against me. The worms that eat them will not die. The fire that burns them will not be quenched, and they will be loathsome to all mankind." So there's that quote that Jesus quotes. It's from Isaiah. Now, what's the picture here? This is a portrait. Let's not overthink it. What's the picture here? Leaving this on the screen. First of all, this is an end times picture. It's a picture of an eternal age, the age to come, signaled in verse 22 when it says a new heavens and a new earth will come, and that new heavens and new heaven and new earth will endure before me. This is consistent with the kind of end times vision that John of Patmos has, and he relates in the book of Revelation. A new heaven, saw a new heaven and a new earth. It endures before me. Now, verse 23, it would appear then that in this setup, there are some who are in and there are some who are out, some who are living and some who are not. Verse 23, there are those who from one Sabbath to another and from one new moon to another, just the picture there is not necessarily that those celebrations or those holy days will literally be celebrated in the age to come. The idea here is more that week after week, month after month, there will be folks that come and endure before me, that go, that their life, their living goes on week after week, month after month. In verse 24, however, their picture is more bleak. It is of those who do not go on living in God's presence. He says the living will go out. And here where it says go out, and you'll see why in a few minutes, I picture this as like going outside of the city gates as being what's meant here or pictured here. And they go out, and outside they see people that are dead. And this, it says, is a loathsome and horrific sight. It calls to mind the notion of dishonorable burial. It calls to mind this kind of thing where people die like animals in the open air or just kind of thrown outside the city with animal carcasses and garbage into this kind of massive common grave, and that there's certain people that are living and going on month by month, week by week, and then there are certain people that are not living, and there's this division, there's this separation. I found it interesting. I'm not sure how widespread this tradition was, but in the ancient world, in at least some Jewish synagogues, there was this tradition of someone would get up and read Isaiah, and I said, this is the very end of the book, and they would read it, and they would come, and they would read the end of the book, and then they would go back, and before they sat down, they would read verse 23 again. The idea being kind of, let's end on a high note here. Let's end with life. Let's not end with this, is what the tradition was, apparently, in some synagogue. So you see, it's not just modern people that find this kind of thing difficult to stomach. Ancient people had trouble as well, and so they went back and read that before they moved on. Now, if we put Mark back up, our Mark passage, and let's see here what Jesus is saying. When Jesus uses that word hell, he's explicitly pointing to Isaiah. He's saying, this is the vision that Isaiah had. That's what I'm talking about. That's the picture. And that actually also is consistent with a very important word here that Jesus uses and what that word was meant, what that word meant at that time. In our time, and I'm talking about the word hell, this word here. In our time, that word may call to mind different sorts of images or ideas. I want to talk about what images and ideas that word called to mind for Jesus' original audience. The word here, translated hell in our English Bibles, is most often the Greek word Gehenna. Gehenna. So in this passage, Jesus is talking about Gehenna. Let me tell you a little bit about Gehenna. Gehenna traces back to an actual place called the Valley of Ben Hinnom. That was a valley south of the city of Jerusalem where in the Old Testament era, there were, first of all, some awful atrocities that were committed. This was a place where people, including God's people, including the Israelites, engaged in the worship of the false god Moloch. You may remember from reading the Old Testament, may remember reading about Moloch. And sad to say, part of the worship of the false god Moloch in the Old Testament was the sacrificing of children, including one's own children, to pacify or as an offering to Moloch. And this was the place, the Valley of Ben Hinnom, where that happened because there were a number of shrines and things to Moloch set up in that place. Now, what happens later in Israel's history is that God chooses that place, the Valley of Ben Hinnom, to be a place of divine judgment on the wicked. In other words, at the site of some of the worst atrocities that his rebellious people Israel committed. You know, it's not just they went and worshipped and followed false gods all the time. When they followed Moloch, not only did they follow and worship a false god, but it led them into this atrocious thing, sacrificing children. So later on, in the era of Josiah, the last great king of Judah, and the great prophet Jeremiah, God takes that very place south of the city and turns it into a place of judgment. Here's what he says about that through Jeremiah. Jeremiah says this, Jeremiah 7, "The people of Judah have done evil in my eyes, declares the Lord. They have set up their detestable idols in the house that bears my name, and they have defiled it. They have built up the high places of Topheth in the valley of Ben-Hinnom to burn their sons and daughters in the fire, something I did not command, nor did it even enter my mind. So beware, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when people will no longer call it Topheth or the valley of Ben-Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter, for they will bury their dead in Topheth until there is no more room. Then the carcasses of this people will become food for the birds and the wild animals, and there will be no one to frighten them away." So I would call this, you guys, an act of divine irony or poetic justice, perhaps. God chooses the place of some of the worst atrocities in the history of his people that came from Israel's idolatry. And he chooses to make that place a place of God's divine and righteous judgment of the wicked. He announces it through Jeremiah. King Josiah also has a part in it. By the way, Jeremiah's description here, does it sound familiar? It sounds like Isaiah's vision. It sounds like Isaiah's vision, which is quoted by Jesus. Now, one more time. We'll put our Mark chapter 9 passage back up. One other thing about Gehenna. Many cite evidence that this valley, the valley of Ben Hinnom, outside of the city, had become, by Jesus' time, kind of the town dump. In other words, in Jesus' time, it had literally become kind of a smoldering, decaying trash heap, where garbage, animal carcasses, etc., were burned and decayed. So when Jesus talked about Gehenna, hell, people may not only have been picturing or thinking Jeremiah, the valley of Ben-Hinnom, or Isaiah, as Jesus points out, but they may have also been thinking in a very concrete way that place in their own time, outside the city, that is kind of this huge, again, smoldering, decaying dump. They may have been thinking that as well when Jesus said that word. How do we sum this up? Let me try. This familiar yet gruesome quotation of Jesus, it's all consistent, do you see, with the prophetic vision of Isaiah and Jeremiah, two of Israel's greatest prophets. Jesus was affirming something that the prophets before him had seen and spoken about, a place of judgment for the wicked. Whether that is literally someday to happen in the literal physical location of the valley of Ben-Hinnom, or if that is more of a figurative reference, there are different views on that. But the idea here is that this is a portrait about the judgment of God, trying to make it more concrete, more tangible to finite human beings like us. Either way, Jesus, Jeremiah, Isaiah affirm the reality of this judgment.
All are welcome to join Zanesville Neighborhood Church at our new location, the Trinity Presbyterian Campus on Military Road in Zanesville. Join us for worship every Sunday at 10 as we seek to love God, love neighbors, and make disciples together.